I moved forward, blocking their firing angle. Van was on one knee, Lay's rifle against his shoulder and his other weapons glinting. A bruise spread up his neck, mottling the left side of his face, dried blood clinging in his hair. Lucas stood, disheveled and threadbare and dangerous. His yellow eyes focused past me on Eve. His guns glittered too. S.W. Remington 60-watt plas guns. Not even a demon can outrun that.
Lucas, on the job and working overtime. Only he's forgotten he's working for me.
Which made him an enemy.
Great. It's me against the world now. Why am I not surprised?
I felt almost like myself again, with the unholy urge to laugh rising under my breastbone.
Eve! I mean it! Go!
I took another step forward, and Van twitched.
Give it up, Valentine! Don't make us hurt someone!
Lucas's finger tightened on the trigger, his entire body tensing.
Well, there's no question about it. He's betrayed me too. I have had enough!
Welcome, wine dark rage flooded me. It scorched through tender burned channels where psychic scars still smoked, courtesy of whatever Lucifer had done to me and the strain I'd put on myself since then. I dropped my scabbard, both hands closing around the hilt and bringing the sword blade high.
Fucked with me for the last time. Kill them. Kill them all!
I flung myself across the intervening space. Eve ran for the edge of the bare empty platform as I brought the sword down, blue-white flames streaking along the arc of the strike, light stuttering because I was moving with berserker speed. Time slowed down. The streak of red down low was Van, firing at Eve. I crashed into him first, followed through with the strike, a perfect down sweep. The Lay's rifle split asunder, a burst of plas splashing out and underlighting the scene with bloody glow.
Nothing! Nothing! Move! Move!
I pivoted on my front foot. My knee met Van's face. He flew back like a rag doll. My leg paused, cocked now for the strike back. Lucas fired, shooting over my head, aiming at Eve.
And my daughter. And the only piece left of my dead demon-murdered lover. Human or not, she's mine. She's all I have left.
I lunged at Lucas, snapped my leg back, my heel hitting something soft and crunching. It snapped like a flag in a high breeze. Another pivot, heel sliding out, and my katana blurred as my wrist turned, everything gaining momentum by the spin. And I struck not to injure, but to kill. If Lucas hadn't flown backward from the kick, I would have cut him in half. As it was, I completed the movement, the blade kissing only air. The building swayed.
Hover engine. Close. Very close.
Valentine, stop it!
Oh, no, I am not nearly finished here. They're still breathing, and so are you, McKinley.
A hover rose up to the landing pad, sleek and black. And I saw a hatch in its side dilating as a pilot or AI held it steady. I also saw Lucas dragging himself up to his feet, blood painting his face into a mask of yellow-eyed rage as Eve paused at the edge of the platform, her pale hair whipped by the wind. She leapt. I forgot all about Van, some 10 feet away, his ribs battered in. I forgot about Lucas. All I could think about was that pale head vanishing straight down. I flung myself after her, was just gaining momentum when the entire side of the tower shattered, and the hellhound landed with a thud on the platform, which was swaying in earnest now. Demon wardings sparked and fizzed, fluorescing into the visible range as something huge and powerful as a magical tornado exploded below somewhere in the tower. It was that explosion that saved me. The tower bucking at the precise moment the winged hellhound leapt for me. The heaving of the entire edifice knocking me off my feet and sending me rolling toward the edge. My sword hammered from my hand and skittering along the platform's floor.
Sword, get your sword. That thing's coming for you. It's coming for you. Get up and kill it and go after her.
My fingers closed on the hilt as I scrabbled. Plas bolts hit the Hellhound. I gained my feet, snapped one glance back, and saw the Hellhound crouching as Plas gun bolts peppered the platform around it. It leapt again, this time thankfully not aiming for me. Lucas rolled aside as the thing crashed into where he had been standing a moment before. There was too much Plas fire in the air to be accounted for, but I didn't care. I turned back to the edge. The air became molten, and my scar turned to clawed fire, nailing my feet in place.
Stop!
Poised on the brink, I looked back over my shoulder again. He halted, too far away, and his wings settled. His eyes burned, and behind him, the Hellhound snarled. More Plas gun bolts whined. The streaks of silvery gray in his hand, new and shocking, threw back Paradise's light. Jaframel took another step forward, his hands out, palms cupped. Demon blood smoked along his sleeves and the hem of his coat, and there was a spatter of it high on one gaunt cheek.
Dante!
The world stopped its rolling, inevitable course. His boots were wet, and he left dark, bloody prints on the shattered floor of the platform. The tower heaved again. That howl from below chilled my blood and lifted every fine hair on my body.
Demon. That's a dying demon. Which one?
I no longer cared. Jaff mouthed the word Dante. His voice bypassed my ears, smashing directly into my brain like carbolic flung across reactive.
Come with me. You must come. Now.
The sheer, naked command in the words wrapped around me and yanked, demanding, controlling me, forcing me.
Gods above and below, how I hate to be forced.
My fingers loosened, and my sword dropped on the platform. Jaframel's will wresting it from my hand as easily as an adult might wrench a toy away from a small child. It is so easy to break a human, especially a human woman. Claws buried in my chest. Someone hurt me, invaded me, hurt me. I had thought nothing else inside me could break. But something deep buried in my mind snapped and rose up like a shattered cable suddenly free of weight. A sheet of flame blinding me. My lips shaped one single word, the only thing I could say. No! The Alpha and Omega of my epitaph. What they would laze carve on my urn when I finally was forced kicking and screaming into the dry land of death.
Not yet. I'm not finished yet.
The hardest, most stubborn, deep buried core of me ignited even as my body betrayed me, already starting to shift its weight to obey him, to accept the inevitable and submit. Give in.
No!
I am not sure if I screamed, or if the roar was merely psychic, locked behind my rictus grin of a face. The curtain between me and a black hole of something too terrible to be spoken or thought of pulled aside for a single, heart-stopping moment. I remembered what had been done to me, who had done it, and how much it had hurt.
No!
The single word filled me.
I will not give in. I will not endure another rape of my body or my mind. I will not go gently into any dark night of submission. I will not be forced any further.
I will die first. I tore myself free. I hurled my traitorous body out into empty space. The wind cradled me as I fell, arms and legs pulled close. A streak painted the air, my rings boiling with golden light, their gems and silver screaming in defiant rage as I narrowed my welling eyes against the stinging hurricane, looking for that pale head, the spot of brilliance I could aim for.
What do I think I'm gonna do? I can't survive a fall like this, and Eve has vanished.
Paradise wheeled crazily under me, hover traffic reaching up to swallow my falling body, the buildings turning to streaks of amber, silver, and anemic gold. I couldn't see her anywhere.
Gone. Disappeared.
A curious comfort spilled through me.
I'm going to die. None of it matters anymore. I'm done. And once in death's arms, the devil can't harm me or involve me in any more games.
A swift, piercing pain lanced through my heart. Jaframel.
He can't save you, Danny. Nobody can.
The truth was there. In my ears, in my fingers, in my heartbeat, which stupidly kept plowing ahead, not understanding or stubbornly ignoring the fact that I was dead. Finally dead, that I was falling, and it was over.
Finally. Blessedly over.
My left cheek burned as the emerald embedded atop my accreditation tat spat a glowing green spark. A high, sudden fracture pain as if I'd been punched hard enough to crack my cheekbone.
No!
The flash of green dyed the entire world for a timeless second. Then it was swallowed by the rip of torn air. Flying. My body relaxed. Tumbling through space and time, synth perfume filling my nose. Apples. Musk. Peaches. Fresh mown grass. If you have to die, Paradise is a good place to do it. Tumbling in free fall, completely free for the first time in my whole miserable existence.
But why is this taking so long?
Then, the impossible. Fingers closed around my wrist and a jolt of arrested motion popped my shoulder from its socket. Wings. And the air filled with crazy mixtures of synth perfume tainted with the dark musk of demon, familiar to me as breath. I hung pinned between the point of no return and the absolute freedom of death, the world spinning frantically. A rooftop loomed below us, flowing nacreous pearl. It was another tower, and I flinched away from the impending shock. My ribs snapped, the force of the fall broken just enough to keep me from dying on impact. Something in my other arm snapped too, and I was flung across the rooftop like a doll, rolling limp as a rag. Plasteel buckled and bent, an invisible layer of force closing around me, cushioning, a flexible shield stopping me just short of a climate control housing shaped like a whipped confection of spun plasteel and plasglass. Warm wetness dripped into my eyes. I lay, blinking. I saw him shedding momentum as his wings gracefully bled the force away from his body. Rising in a perfectly coordinated movement and whirling, a familiar curve of steel in his hands. He drove my sword into the rooftop with one economic movement, shaking his hand out as blue sparks popped between him and the hilt. He turned, his wings beginning to flow back down to armor him. A flash of his narrow golden chest heaving. Agony roared through me, preternatural flesh stretched to its limits, bones struggling to re-knit themselves, a tide of black demon blood smashing through my lips. My ribs snapped out, mending themselves. The scar turned into a red-hot drill. And if I could have breathed through the convulsions, I would have screamed again. My arms boiled red hot with pain as I made it up to elbows and knees, realizing I wasn't healing fast enough. Black blood should have been welling up and closing the wounds, sealing them away, but more blood pattered on the rooftop as I scrabbled. The air closed around me, suffocatingly heavy. My claws extended, shearing through plasteel and fabric alike. And then the winged hellhound streaked down from the sky and hit Jaframel.
Get up! Get up and fight!
Every cell in my body rebelled. I forgot his betrayal. I forgot my own. I forgot everything but the need to get to my feet and fling myself at the thing that was going to kill him. Power smashed through the scar, flaring down my skin and sparking into the visible range. Black diamond flames twisting through the trademark sparkles of a necromancer's aura. My shielding, smashed and rent, cracked open. For one dizzying eternal moment, the entire city of Paradise shattered through my skull again, as if I had once more opened the tap lines in Notre Dame and ripped a hole in a world. The assault smashed me flat onto the floor of the roof. My shields closed, mended by the thunderbolt of pure power spilling through me. I felt myself spiraling into death. Still, I tried to get up, to make my body respond. Darkness closed over my vision. Whether my eyes were shut or I was just blind with effort was anyone's guess. A great glass bell of silence slammed over me.
Be still, Shavarak Itzan Beliak, woman. Be still. Calm yourself. Stop. Stop.
Hands on me. Familiar hands. I lay limp as cling film as he pulled me into his arms. My ribs tried to heal themselves again. Yet more power roared into me through the scar, coating my skin and working in, filling the hollow channels of my nerves and skeleton. I coughed one last time and convulsed, my heels slapping the rooftop. I collapsed, something against my forehead. I realized it was his mouth. Just as he began kissing my cheeks, my temple, my hair, anywhere he could reach, he almost crushed me, his arms like steel bars holding me to earth. I didn't care. Curls of steam threaded away from us both, heat bleeding off through his aura as his shielding closed over me. A touch almost as intimate as his wings pulled close, enfolding me in a double layer of protection. I broke open. I wept against his chest, his skin against mine again.
You're safe. Oh, you're safe now. You're safe. Safe, Adira.
He kissed every part of me he could.
Not even death will take you from me.
I lay on my side, in a bath of delicious heat and softness. It was like sleeping on clouds, and the heat burrowed into me, all the way out through my fingers and toes, flushing away the last remaining traces of pain and injury, soothing. The entire world was a gray smear. I wanted it to stay that way. Along with the warmth and the softness was Jaframel's hoarse voice, another constant. He spoke, sometimes calmly, sometimes not, but I didn't listen to the words. Other voices intruded, but I paid no attention. I simply curled in on myself, shutting them away as best I could. My mind shivered, psychic wounds raw and smoking. All careful work to heal them undone, quivering on the edge of insanity. Not even the blue crystalline glow of death's country to break the darkness. It came back in bits and pieces, drifting for a while. Then I lunged into consciousness. I jolted off the table, my hands around a hilt and the blade splitting the air.
A hand around my wrist?
I opened my eyes and my wrist was twisted. Not hard, but enough to lock it and keep the blade down and to the side. I still had my boots on, my left hand coming up in a flat strike. He avoided it gracefully, ducking aside and caught my left wrist. He drove me back, pinned me to the wall. I brought my knee up and he avoided that too. The room was narrow, very small, and smelled of hover wash and oil. It was a hover. We were traveling. The entire ship shuddered as I struggled with flesh and power both. His aura clamped down over mine. The pressure excruciating for a long, infinite moment.
Calm. I'm here. Calm, my curious.
Let go.
Let go now.
No.
His fingers clamped home. I tried shifting and sliding away. Struggled until sweat broke out along the curve of my lower back. Pressed into the metal hull, my hair fell in my eyes.
You do not understand.
I don't want to. You lie.
I have the other half of the knife, Dante. We are so very close to being free.
Over his shoulder, I could see the rest of the narrow room. A shelf-like bed and plasglass-fronted cabinets.
I have returned from the very depths of hell, and I have—
Shut up! I know what you did. You sold me out.
I didn't know if it was possible to care less.
Where's Eve? If you hurt her, I'll—
Vardimal's androgyne is safely confined. Lucas and McKinley restrained her.
His fingers softened, but not nearly enough for me to slip free. The hover was settling into a rhythm. Short, choppy bounces as if we were just above rough water. Gyros straining as anti-grav slipped and slithered against waves.
Her supporters are scattered. It was necessary. I had to, Dante.
I finally slumped against the wall, leather and hilts digging into me as Jaframel leaned in. His eyes were inches from mine, filling the world until I closed my eyelids, shutting out that green fire.
You were going to kill her.
If it would serve my plans, I would.
Great. I suppose that's one statement I can unequivocally believe.
The sarcastic voice inside my head showed up again, right on time.
Your plans? Do I serve your plans?
I gathered myself, harsh, hurtful tension building in my muscles.
You do not serve my plans. You are what I engage in planning to keep safe. Look at me.
No.
Look at me, Dante. Please.
My eyes flew open. He leaned in close, lashes veiling the green burn of his gaze. His hair fell, thick, choppy streaks of silver contrasting sharply with wet blackness. Fine lines bracketed his mouth, fanned out from the corners of his eyes. After so long unchanging, he seemed to have aged.
But demons don't age. Is it another mask?
What happened to you?
I made a fresh bargain with the prince. Our salvation is so very close. Do not doubt me now.
Eve—
That is not her name. She is Lucifer's consort, not a human child, you fool. Did you open a door into hell at her bidding? Do you have the least comprehension of what that means? A large portion of her allies, her precious resistance, escaped into the free air. Lucifer will make war upon them himself. He cannot afford to do otherwise. But she was my bait in a trap I laid with care. A trap you almost made unusable. I had to kill her gathering once you broke the walls between your world and hell.
I was giving you time. And staying alive. It was the only way I could do something instead of waiting—
McKinley was more than capable of hiding you.
Not from her, he wasn't.
She's mine, Jaframel.
The words trembled on my lips. The secret I had not opened my mouth to tell him directly. My own small private deceit in this snake pit of lies and clashing agendas. I couldn't tell him now.
I had to, Jaff.
I sagged against the wall, going limp in his hands. But my fingers were tight on Fudoshin's hilt.
If he lets go of me—
It matters little now. We are on our way to a meeting with Lucifer. I will deliver the wayward androgyne.
I brought my knee up sharply. He countered the movement. His fingers bit in cruelly.
Stop!
He sounds breathless.
The scar turned to molten metal on my shoulder.
You son of a—
I will deliver the wayward androgyne, and once she is delivered to him, she has agreed to distract his attention. I will strike him down even as he gloats over her. Will you stop?
The clockwork spinning inside my head paused for just a moment.
Don't trust him, don't listen. Plot and counterplot, Danny.
How can I trust anything you say to me?
I have gone into hell for you not once, but several times.
He let go of me in a sudden, convulsive movement.
That should be enough. Even for you.
You think I've been on a fucking holiday cruise? Where do you think I've gone?
As far as necessary. As I would for you.
My hand wielding Fudoshin dropped. His hand dropped. His coat was just as black as ever. But that shock of silver-threaded hair...
He's different. Too different. We both changed out of all recognition. What's left?
Let me get this straight. You expect me to stand there and trust you while you hand Eve over to Lucifer, the very thing he's always wanted out of this game.
He wanted me to tell him where she was, and when I wouldn't, I was a Judas goat, meant to lure her in. He used me, you used me. What's the goddamn difference?
His left hand came up. In it, satiny wood gleamed. The sheathed knife at my hip responded. The finials of its other half cradled in Jaff's hand, moving slightly, yearning out of his grip and toward me. His fingers trembled as he held it, as if he wanted to drop it. He took two slow steps forward. The hover's gyros stabilized, the bounce telling me we were ashore now. We'd just made landfall. But where the hell were we?
Off the map, sunshine. You've just gone off the fucking edge of the world.
Take it.
Jaframel offered me the knife. My heart thumped against my ribs. I eyed his hand. Eyed the other half of the knife.
So he has retrieved it. Where did he hide it in hell? Will I ever have the time or the courage to ask him?
He cupped the blade in his right hand and released the hilt, offering it like a goblet of wine to thirsty gods. If it hurt him, his face showed no sign. The hover began to climb, the ear popping of altitude a heavy auditory weight.
If you take that, Danny, you'll be able to kill him. He's fast and strong, but you saw what it did to Sephiramel. You'll have some power in this relationship. You'll have a little control, and if he pulls a Mickey on you one more time, you can bury the thing in his guts.
My tat shifted on my cheek, diamond pinpricks under skin. My emerald lit, a spark popping in the gloom. Jaframel waited, half of the knife trembling in his hands, aching to clasp its twin and be whole again.
It's yours.
He didn't look at me, his eyes hidden behind that fringe of hair. A muscle in his cheek flickered.
It was made for a Hedera's hand.
Go ahead, Danny. Take it. You've got to finish this game anyway. You dealt yourself in at Notre Dame. Time to pick another card.
I didn't realize I'd moved until I closed my fingers over the hilt. It sounded... happy. Jaframel raised his eyes, shaking his hair back.
Will you trust me?
Four little words.
I weighed half the knife in my hand. Its mate vibrated against my hip.
I don't know if I should. I don't know if I want to.
I don't know if I can. His shoulders dropped. The look on his face was like being stabbed. And all the broken places inside my head gave a flare of devouring pain.
Why am I such an idiot for him? Just when I think I have no reason to trust him, he goes and does something like this. Like giving me a weapon.
But I can try. We stared at each other. Jaframel nodded, a short, sharp movement. The silver in his hair glittered.
Thank you.
The scar flamed with soft heat, and his aura over mine settled, thin, fine strands of gossamer energy binding together rips and tears, healing the rent tatters of my shielding with infinite care.
Is he doing it consciously?
Did it matter? I searched for something else to say. Another question to keep him standing here and talking to me.
What happened to you? In hell.
One shoulder lifted, dropped.
God's damn shrugging demons.
Nothing of any account.
Come on, Jaff. Your hair.
It doesn't please you?
His head tilted slightly, letting the dim Oranflu light play over its shagginess.
God damn it.
That's not the point. I just wondered what happened.
You're not going to tell me a damn thing, are you? Especially not now. You just want me to trust you blindly. You want to control everything about this.
But the weight of half the knife in my hand said differently.
Tell me why you almost killed yourself fleeing me.
His hands spread lightly, expressive. I glimpsed dark shadows across his palms.
From the touch of the knife?
The edges of his coat ruffled as the hover shifted, settling at a new altitude.
How can I put it into words? Because you tried to force me, Jaframel? Because Eve is the last shred of Doreen left walking the Earth, and I have to believe there's some humanity left in her? Because if there isn't, there's none left in me either. Because I can no longer pray? Because the devil has robbed me of myself? Because Eve is sticking it to Lucifer where it hurts for any number of reasons, none of which I can explain to you without a half hour, absolute silence on your part, and a whole lot of luck. Or maybe a demon-American dictionary, if such a thing exists.
Exactly.
He clasped his hands behind his back, his feet placed just precisely so.
There are some things that cannot be explained, even between us. Whether we founder on them or learn to leave them unsaid, I leave to you.
He turned on one heel.
You should gain some rest. We will be there sooner than you think.
Where?
Where else would Lucifer meet us? Where he can see us coming.
He was gone through a hatch door. A brief slice of daylight outside stinging my eyes. The shaking in my arms and legs circled like a beast waiting to pounce. I drew the first half of the knife from its sheath. It was awkward, but I hitched one hip against the shelf-like medbay bed and compared the two wooden weapons. They both looked complete. But after a few moments, my brain started to work and I saw how they could be fitted together by tangling the finials and twisting just so. My hands drew together as if I held two powerful electromagnets. I slid them together with infinite care, my almost translucent fingernails still bearing chips and flecks of black molecule drip polish. They matched the mellow glow of the wood. I gave the final twist, locking both halves of the knife into place. The hover bounced. Power drew heavy and close in the confined space. The world warped around the knife. The same kind of seaweed drifting I remembered around the edges of a door torn in the fabric of the world. The hum went subsonic. The geometry of the knife was slightly off, for all its grace. Yet it looked at home in my grasp. The finials caging and protecting my slim golden hand. The blade, now leaf-shaped and slightly curved, looked wicked enough to do some damage just sitting there, and I suddenly had no trouble believing this thing could kill any demon it chose.
Still, it didn't do the other women any good. Don't get cocky, Danny.
Had Sephiramel's Hedera ever held this thing? If I tried, could I find any traces of the women who might have thought they could wield it, locked under its glossy surface?
Psychometry isn't a skill of mine. I'm no reader.
And it was only made of wood, from some unspeakable tree I couldn't imagine. It was power and control, and a way to end this madness so I could breathe again.
So I can think again, without the black hole in my head threatening to drive me insane, without the hole in my heart that keeps crying Jaframel's name, without the weight of sick grief and guilt that I can't let myself feel if I'm going to function.
It doesn't matter. It didn't. It didn't make a damn bit of difference whether I could trust Jaframel or not. We were locked into this course, like an AI locking in a freight hover, like a greater work of magic completing itself, snapping home and driving a change into the fabric of the world, reshaping reality according to its own laws.
He'll either hold up his end of the deal or he won't. Either way, a demon or two, or more, is going to die. I am going to see this thing finished.
There's no pretty way to describe the Vegas waste. The nucleus is an immense slag crater full of radiation and thin glass where silica sand fused together, broken by twisted, screaming shapes of ferrous metal. On the outside edges, the ghost city slumps and crawls. Even from the air, bones are visible. buried in drifts of sand that ride up and fall away so the entire place shifts. Moaning wind is the only sound left. Once, the city stretched into the desert, full of gambling, liquor, and the peculiar American-era duo of fleshly urges and frantic penance for those urges. The Gilead government was like every other totalitarian regime. The ones in power wanted a playground, and Vegas was nothing if not accommodating. Maybe the hardline Republic thought it was being tricky by moving its Stratcom into the city once it was pushed out of D.C. by opposition forces after Kachbabar Gilead's assassination. Maybe they had nowhere else to go, having been blown out of the Coloradan bunkers in massive firefights. Maybe it was just sheer disorganization. Whatever it was, their threat of a nuclear strike was met by an actual nuclear strike. Nobody after the 70 days war took responsibility for actually giving the codes to drop the bomb. Whoever did it saved plenty of lives. The hardliners weren't going to go out quietly, and they had enough fanatics and material to wage war for a while, especially in the mountainous regions. But whoever did it also slaughtered a million civilians, if not more. Not just in the first bomb blast, but also in the radiation sickness and pure misery in camps afterward, as the provisional government struggled to figure out who was a Gilead guerrilla and who was a civilian. McKinley was in the cockpit, guiding the hover over the shallow dips and crests of desert. Acres of broken ruins stretched in every direction. Old, crumbling concrete and real steel, too twisted and heavy to be salvaged, crusted with rust. Glaring light reflected from sand and shimmering dapples wherever there was a porthole, casting weird shadows into the interior. This hover was slim, much smaller than our previous version, with no extraneous chambers. The cargo bay was open, a deep, narrow well, bare except for one pale-haired demon trapped again in a silver writhing circle, her face tilted back to look at me above her. I had my scabbarded sword in my left hand and the knife in my right. Behind the cockpit, Van leaned against the hull, occasionally exchanging soft words with McKinley. Jaframel loomed behind them, his hands clasped behind his back, his hair gleaming, and, wonder of wonders, Anton Kagumbi, his springy hair wildly mussed, shot an indecipherable glance at me before leaning toward Jaff to whisper, "Very fucking familiar," into Jaff's ear.
Plot and counterplot, double agents and deception. Where's Leander? Did he survive whatever happened to the last hover?
Lucas, arms folded and a scowl settled over his thin, sallow face, stood at the railing at my right shoulder.
You shouldn't have done that.
Yeah? You shouldn't have pointed a gun at me. You're working for me. Or at least you said you were.
I already said I was sorry. I'm having kind of a bad week, Lucas.
I'm not used to my clients trying to kill me. I've put rabid bounty hunters down for less.
I swallowed my temper with an almost sweat-inducing effort.
You were firing on her.
And on me, come to think of it.
Orders. Your boyfriend's got better sense than you.
So you're working for him now?
I stared at Eve's pale head as she crouched, immobile in the empty cargo bay. The line of silver tautened as her shoulders came up, as if she felt my gaze.
Just so I'm clear on this, because I thought I hired you.
No response.
Point carried.
Fuck you, Lucas.
No way, chica. You're too high maintenance.
Now is not a good time to bait me.
Not a good time to try to kill me either.
You welched on me. I'm warning you, Lucas, don't ride me. I'm not in the mood.
I've been watching this whole thing play out.
If he twitches for a knife or a plasgun, what the hell am I gonna do?
The engine of chance and consequence inside my head returned the only answer possible.
If he moves on me, we are gonna find out if he's as deathless as everyone claims.
I gotta admit, You were smart when it started. But you getting dumber and dumber. Winding you up and watching you knock down everything in your way is kind of fun, but it don't get the job done.
I didn't want to hear how stupid Villalobos thought I was. I didn't care if I was stupid or not. All I wanted right now was a chance to kill a demon. And I was getting to the point where I wasn't too picky which one. Where's Leander?
You just getting around to wondering? Glad you didn't get a crush on me, or I might be in even more trouble.
That was fucking uncalled for.
Keep your goddamn commentary to yourself, Villalobos.
What if you need to hear it? You've fucked this up 6 ways from Sunday, and it's only going to get worse. I always see a job through, but...
Lucas.
The hover rattled.
Enough.
We stared at each other, Lucas Villalobos and I, and my sudden desire to smash his fucking face in made the knife quiver in my hand.
It's a weapon meant for demons, but just how much damage can it do to the man death has denied?
Are you thinking about it, Valentine? Come on and try me. It'd be a fight worth having. Before you do, though, you'd better think about who was on that hover with Leander. Do you think she stopped to cover his retreat? You think she gave a rat's ass about him? You're being used, and if it wasn't so pathetic, it'd be goddamn hilarious to see you barking up whatever trio blue eyes there points you at.
I pitched forward, but Jaframel arrived. His fingers locked around my wrist. I had started to bring the knife up. It's humming in my hand a sudden siren call. Strike. Kill. Make someone bleed.
Lucas, you have a contract with me.
I lived up to it so far, ain't I?
You an idiot too, demon. You should have done what had to be done when you had the chance. I did not ask for your opinion of my methods.
Jaframel's hand tensed and released.
I asked for your skill in killing Hell's citizens. Any more is not your concern.
Your funeral.
Lucas wheeled and stalked away, the effect of his retreat ruined by the close quarters. He ended up near the cockpit.
I wonder if the flesh between his shoulder blades is prickling because of my nearness now.
Jaframel did not look at me. Instead, he clasped his hands behind his back and stood very still, gazing down into the well of the cargo hold. Eve still crouched, motionless, and my heart gave a sudden pang. She was trapped down there, without even anyone to talk to, alone in a bare hold.
Not a very human way to treat someone, is it, Danny?
Can I go down there? Jaframel appeared not to have heard, staring fixedly at the demon's pale head. Can I-
Why?
Do I have to get a permit?
You hold the knife, my curious. I can hardly stop you.
It hung heavy in my hand, curved, obscenely warm wood. My rings sparked and sizzled in the uncertain air. Out here in the radiation wastes, static would build up, discharging in blue-white sparks. I could almost feel the silent killer against my skin. Lethal power unleashed by the splitting of an infinitely small piece of the universe.
Should I be worried? I'm part demon. Will I get radiation sickness? Well, I care if I do.
When were you gonna tell me about this prophecy thing?
Meaningless gibberish.
There was a slight tension in the straight line of his shoulders.
I suppose the androgyne made it sound tailored to you.
The hand that can hold the knife has faced fire and not been consumed. Has walked in death and returned. A hand given strength beyond its ken.
It sounds pretty specific.
Ilvaramel's Hedera did speak before her death. She spoke her Anankimel's name and cursed me. The prophecy is simply noise. I suppose you will not believe me.
I don't know what to believe.
My eyes snagged on the knife's finials, clasping my hand.
Revenge. Kill the bastard and stop him playing around with me. But what then? Can I even imagine anything past that? If the gods smile on me and I'm lucky enough to kill Lucifer, by no means certain even with Jaff's help, what the hell will happen then? There's Gabe's little girl in Saint City, playing in a house run by a sex witch transvestite. I promised to raise her, to look after her and protect her. I also promised to protect the demon crouched in the cargo hold. The child demon who holds bits of both me and Doreen in her genetic matrix. Who set me barking at trees in a way Lucas finds so fucking amusing. Who I would have killed for, or died for, atop that Paradise tower. If Lucas or Van had been human still, would I have slaughtered them in the name of keeping Eve safe? Who am I really trying to save? Eve? Or myself?
Compassion is not your strongest virtue, Daniel-san.
I couldn't keep every promise I made. I'd broken my vow of vengeance on Gabe and Eddie's killers. I had left that faithless, murdering Serayim bitch alive. Because Anubis, my god, my patron, had asked.
More than that, though. Because she was incapable of fighting back. Because she was a healer. Because I could not murder an unarmed woman and retain any tattered shard of my honor. Because I have lived my life with no shortage of killing and violence, but always directed at someone who deserved to die by any standard. Someone who had chosen to fight without honor, broken the law, or attacked me first. It's who I am.
Or who I used to be.
Who am I now?
A necromancer who couldn't stand to face her god. A half-demon with a head full of reactive fumes, liquid fury in place of blood, and a weapon that could hopefully kill the devil in my fist.
Nobody's ever tried this knife on Lucifer. You don't know if it works or not.
Still, I had Jaframel, didn't I? He had declared war on Lucifer. If I could believe him. If I could trust him to hand Eve over to Lucifer in one breath and rescue her with the next.
What then, Danny? What comes after this? More lies and games? What will happen in hell with Lucifer gone?
Kinda late to be thinking this over now, Sunshine.
When I blinked, returning to myself, I found Jaframel half-turned. He looked at me now, the silver threading his hair dappled with reflected light, and his eyes burning holes in the artificial dusk left by the sealed portholes. The human darkness behind a screen of green fire sent another sharp bolt through me. Had he even paused before throwing himself off a high-rise after me?
Of course not. You know he didn't.
Sounding disgusted with myself was turning into a full-time career. I set my jaw and lifted my chin. I also lifted the knife slightly, but he didn't look at it.
I need a sheath for this. The old one won't fit.
He nodded. My heart ached. There was nothing else to say. I couldn't tell him a quarter of what I wanted to, and he wouldn't do a quarter of what I needed him to do.
Go figure. The love of my life, and I can't trust a goddamn word he says. I have to trust what he'll do.
I turned away, breaking eye contact with a small sharp pain, a needle going into whatever heart I had left. There was a ladder leading down to the cargo bay, and I slid my sword into the loop on my rig, needing at least one hand free for climbing.
Dante, may I ask you one thing?
I studied the blank hull on the other side of the open cargo well.
Ask away.
All I can do is lie to you, you know? All I can do is betray you, keep things from you, manipulate you, like you've done to me. Is turnabout fair play?
When Lucifer lies dying at your feet, what will you do?
Good question.
I swallowed dryly, closed my left hand over the railing, and prepared to climb down.
I'll find out when I get there, Jaframel.
I just hope that's the destination you really have in mind.
Sand swirled. The cargo hatch was open. The air seals taking on the load of oven-hot desert wind. A flat glass field shimmered under a pall of fierce, sunny heat. And even though I knew it was invisible, I shivered, thinking of the radiation soaking that reflective waste.
The hover would need decontamination and a plurifreeze wash on the way back, if there was a way back. Eve still hadn't opened her eyes. She crouched in the very center of the thin silver circle, still taut. Van had produced yet another leather sheath, fitting the ancient weapon as if custom-made. I imagined radiation creeping into my flesh. Long shadows stretched away from the hover, made tall by the westering sun. We'd spent the whole day circling the city. Wastes of twisted metal and old shattered buildings heaving under the hover's metal belly. Van tried again.
At least let us accompany you, for her protection.
Jaframel shook his head. He checked a silvery gun, sighting down its barrel, and made it disappear.
I am all the protection she will require, and if I fail, you could hardly succeed. No, Van, it ends here.
My lord, it'll be dusk soon. Tian's...
No.
Lucas slung a bandolier over his shoulder, buckled it.
God's damn son. God's damn Vegas. God's damn everything.
I heartily agree.
At least my clothes were still mostly in one piece and not too filthy. My hair tangled wildly with matted knots. My heart thumped, skipped, and settled into a fast, high, walloping run. Inside my head... The thin red ribbon of rage smoked. My shields crackled, another flush of power reinforcing the tissue-thin energetic scabs.
I'm in no shape to take anyone on, let alone the devil himself.
My knuckles drifted against the knife's smooth, warm hilt. The remainder of my left hand closed firmly around Fudoshin's hilt. A hot, burnished smell of cooking glass and oven-warm sand filtered in through the seals. Distant, wet mirage shimmers on the curved, receding horizon.
The sword kills nothing. It is will kills your enemy.
I hope it's true. Old Jado gave me this sword, and it's already tasted Lucifer's flesh once without breaking. Sekhmet Sayas. Lady, I invoke you. You answered me once. Be with me, I pray.
The reflex of faith was too deeply ingrained for me to escape. I'd spent 40-odd years or more praying to the god of death, my own personal shield against the vastness of whatever lies beyond human understanding.
Now I'm praying to someone else, and I pray she's listening.
My right hand rose to my throat and touched the knobbed end of a silver-dipped baculum. Jace's necklace quietly resting against my collarbone, its weight a comfort. All the voices in my head went silent for once, waiting. Jaframel stepped to the edge of the silver double circle. The glyphs between the inner and outer layers responded. The dance becoming a single, solid streak of light, running through the grated metal flooring without a single hitch.
It is time.
Eve's gas-flame eyes opened. She rose to her feet in a single, fluid movement. She tilted her head back, the pale, supple cervical curve gleaming. Demon-acute sight picked out the pulse throbbing in its secret hollow. Vulnerable. And strong.
Consort, you are a piece in this game.
Jaframel stood in his habitual manner, hands clasped behind his back, head slightly cocked as if the demon he regarded was an interesting specimen in a carry jar, nothing more. Eve stared over his shoulder, her blue gaze finding mine. The knife buzzed against my hip.
Merely a pawn, eldest. Who is the queen?
None of us may move as we will.
Jaframel shrugged at someone other than me for once.
Are you so sure?
She indicated the circle holding her captive.
I am to play the prisoner. Very well.
Will I be shackled?
I see no need for such theatrics.
Jaframel didn't move.
Though, were I to return your recent hospitality... We might learn the look of your blood.
I made a small, restless movement. McKinley's shoulders came up. his metallic left hand flexing into a fist as he stared at me.
No, not at me. At the knife at my hip and at Jaffamel's unprotected back turned to me. At Eve, looking over Jaff's shoulder. Do you think I'm going to stab my fallen in the back? Wouldn't put it past me right now, would you? I can't blame you.
I looked out the hatch. The vast bowl of the blast zone shed heat like liquid, the hover's climate control working overtime. Puffs of cool air touched my cheeks.
It was necessary. Even your Hedera knows as much.
I am not here to bandy words of what might have been. I am here for what is to be done now. Should I shackle you?
You say yourself there's no need.
I realize this is the usual roundabout demon way of doing things. But can we pretty please, with sugar on top of it, get on with this?
You're so anxious to see him again?
Eve spread her hands. A graceful movement expressing resignation.
I am ready, eldest. We may as well accede to your Hedera.
Jaframel was silent for such a long moment. I almost thought we were going to have trouble. The world slowed down. Sand caressing the hover's plasteel skin. A thin film of sweat covering my forehead. A hum ran through the circle, spiraled up and leaped out of existence. Lucas holstered his last plasgun.
I'm pretty sure I got something more pleasant I could be doing.
We're not meeting El Diablo until dark.
I would prefer some necessary reconnaissance of the terrain, which will allow you the time to hide yourself, should you so choose.
Jaframel turned away from Eve, who stood smiling at me, the tips of her white, white teeth showing. He took three long strides away from my daughter. I tensed. Premonition tickled my nape, swam through dark water, flowered in the space behind my eyes, and sank away, showing me nothing. Nothing except the dread of something unpleasant about to happen.
I ain't gonna hide. I want him to know I'm standing with you. That was the deal.
What the hell?
What deal? Lucas rolled his shoulders back and settled his bandoliers.
The one I made with your boyfriend, Chica. The one that kept me in this game. What? You thought I was working for you?
That was my understanding, yes.
But Eve hired you before I did, and Jaff paid you. So I suppose you were working for me until a better offer came along.
If I was still working for you, I'd have killed you. After you tried to unzip my guts, that is.
Lucas brushed past me. McKinley and Van, wearing identical expressions of worry, stood like statues. Eve didn't move, watching me with that unsettling smile.
You lying sack of shit.
I said I was sorry. Jaframel stepped less than 2 feet from me, his head slightly bowed. The scar, burning softly against my shoulder, pulsed once. Another warm, soft coat of power eased down my skin. Caress, or last-minute bolstering, it cleared my head a bit. The thin red ribbon of rage smoking in the bottom of my mind shivered, uneasy. Eve finally eased forward, stepping cautiously over the now defunct borders of the circle. I braced myself. Eve's smile widened, and her hands came up. Elegant fingers spread. The thermogrenade bounced as she flung it. One deadly, accurate throw, straight into the middle of the ammo crates Lucas had been digging in, stacked alongside the wall. The world turned over. Jaframel spun aside and I dove for cover, oxygen hissing as fire bloomed, a hungry flower. I hit hard, rolling to the side, searching for something, anything in the vast naked space of the cargo bay to hide myself behind. Eve landed next to me, cat-like, one hand tented against the floor for balance as the other curled around my upper arm and hauled. The scar gave a flare of spiked heat. Jaframel's aura compressing over mine.
What the fuck?
Ah! my body left the grating, the shockwave and Eve's application of force conspiring to drag me through air turned hot and viscous. I went limp as a rag doll, the slim iron bar of Eve's arm now around my waist, as she compressed herself, then let loose, flinging through space as we cleared the huge starfish hole torn in the side of the hover. Eve landed hard, physics taking revenge as we both skidded. A cloud of grit rose, and I realized the breeze raking the ground around us. Eve leapt again, my sword almost jolting free before my fingers clamped shut, and I searched for a way, any way, to help her instead of just bouncing along for the ride.
Nothing comes to mind!
He hit hard, and rolled down a rocky incline scarred with detritus. We reached the cover at the edge of the blast zone, but even then she didn't stop, fleeing not just for escape, but also for her life.